Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's DeMarcus Covington yesterday. It's Christian Arkin, Andy Hart, WEEI Afternoons. Nice to have you with us here today on this nice afternoon. It was all right earlier. I don't know if it still is. Nice this morning.
It was in the 70s.
Is it 70s still?
Yeah, I think it got up there.
Anyways, the weather this weekend I don't think is going to matter much for either one of these teams. Not going to be much of a weather game, but the defense, DeMarcus Covington, really breaking it down to the bone bristle there, to quote Method Man. That was just very, very sort of, you watch a lot of youth sports, Andy. Like, your yeah. Son's there. Like, that's sort of the type of thing you hear in maybe a high school locker room.
Type of thing. Or an elementary school or preschool classroom. Mm.
We work better as a what, kids? Unit! Oh, we're all a unit. It's ridiculous. Like, and the other thing is, I haven't heard him speak a ton, but
Covington?
He doesn't exactly have catchphrases. Mm. He doesn't, like, if Bill said, you know, what do I ask the players to do? Their job. Like,
right.
I think we would have more fill in the blank. I think the media was caught off guard and was like, team? I think somebody answered team first. We're better when we play as a team. I'm not sure anybody got unit. It was very strange. I don't think DeMarcus, you know, we're going to fixate on Gerard Mayo because he's the head coach. And Alex Van Pelt is going to be more and more in the crosshairs because, well, his offense really, really stinks. And the numbers and everything, when your rank's as low as it's going to be ranked, even coming off the heels of historically bad offenses the last couple of years. Covington is now in the crosshairs. And for me, maybe he should be more than anyone. Isn't he the most prepared and experienced to do his job? And doesn't he have the best tools to work with?
I would think, yeah. I mean, we all went into the season thinking that about the defense. DeMarcus Covington has coached on the defensive side of the ball before. Like, he does have, I don't know, calling defenses. I guess he hasn't done that, but I'd say that.
Not since Eastern Illinois.
Right. It's been a while. But yeah, that's. But when you turn to him for answers, he's got call and response, which is kind of tough. But yeah, that's.
We work best as a what, kids? Unit! Okay, everybody get cupcakes now.
That reminded me of this time I was going to a concert once, and I got there late. It was at the Middle East. I forget who the main act was, but Acrobatic was the opener.
Oh, Acro.
And Acrobatic has this song called Woman, and in the song he goes, put up your hands, put up your hands, put up your hands if you're a real woman. And I got there, and he was going to the chorus, and he was like, put up your hands. And I was like, all right, and I got my hand up. And he goes, put up your hands if you're a real woman. And I was like, oh, geez, that's not it. I'm not a real woman.
Awkward.
It was very awkward. I didn't know the song, so I didn't know that part was coming. But that's what happens when you get too far into the call and response thing. Sometimes you end up throwing up your hands and you're a real woman, and you don't even know how you got to that point.
Right.
So yeah, but
anyway. Or you throw to the audience, you know, like a lot of artists in big stadiums. They now Garth Brooks does it. Now it's your turn. Low Places. You sing the chorus, audience.
Right.
But if you ask the audience to sing and it goes quiet, it's really embarrassing. It's really kind of puts you in your place and perspective. And I think that's where DeMarcus Covington is right now. And I mentioned it the other day about the, you know, it's not scheme, it's players and execution. Okay, so is that the bus I hear backing over your players right now? Because you just said it's not scheme. So don't blame the coach, blame the players. There's a lot that needs to be cleaned up down there in terms of, and we've talked about this all along, messaging and the getting, and we're learning more and more. I'm sorry, Bill. You were right. We were wrong. Having one voice is probably the smart way to go. Saying less is probably the smart way to go. As much as we're annoyed by it by you over the years, but aren't we seeing it changing the course of how things are being presented, or just flat out kind of stepping in it and saying the wrong things? That the more people that speak more regularly and more freely, the more words there are out there to analyze and the more errors that are going to come.
I'd agree with that 100%. But the only time anyone really cares about any of that stuff, you know as well as I do, is when you suck and when you're
Correct.
Losing every week and when you have stuff to pick apart. When you're winning, you can pick apart that stuff, but then they can just say, hey, we don't listen to you guys picking us apart. When
Correct.
You suck, you have to listen to it because you suck and you have to get better. And that's just the way it is. So, I mean, you know, like it works when you're good. It works when you have a talented team. It works when you have the best quarterback ever and one of the best tight ends of all time and a very good defense. I'm not trying to say that Belichick wasn't a good coach. Obviously, he was the greatest coach ever. I'm just saying that, you know, you can't act that way when you suck. Like, it just doesn't work.
Right. And the other thing is there any benefit here? This kind of just hit me as we talk about this. Is there any benefit of us fixating on players bitching and Evan Lazar saying mutiny and scrubbing of websites?
Benefit for us or for them?
For them.
No.
Does it keep us from actually acknowledging the problems?
I think it exacerbates the problems. I think it makes us acknowledge them even more. I think we're now looking at all this as a product of these problems. That's how I look at it.
Because I personally don't think the Polk and Douglas and anybody complaining about catches is that big a problem. You know what I think the problem is? You don't have anybody worthy of making catches, and you don't have a quarterback that can get them the ball so they can make catches, and you don't have an offensive line that can protect a quarterback so that he can get the ball to the guys who want to make catches. Like, it has nothing to do. Right. It has nothing to do with their attitude and the words. It has to do with their actions on the field, right? And it's not really a problem if Keon White or Devon Godshaw says Keon White might be freelancing. You know what the problem is? You're not tackling quarterbacks when they roll out. There's a reason in my last FanDuel ad I picked Huntley over rushing yards, because I think he's going to scramble all over the field and pick up more than 25 rushing yards that he needs. He might get 25 rushing yards on one play, and it's not because they talk about it. It's because they don't succeed on the field, right? Like, so I do think there's a little bit, we're all fixating on so many things that don't involve the bottom line. We're Drake May. Oh my God, Drake May. Oh my God, you don't motion enough. You should motion more. You know what the bottom line is? The team stinks. The roster stinks. I think Wiggy said it coming out of one of our breaks in one of the promos. Like, you know, he's just upset because the team stinks. And we're finding a lot of different ways to pick out all these specific issues when the reality is the team stinks and is closer to 0-17 than anyone ever wanted to admit. I'm gonna
So you have good two of those together. We'll be successful on that.
617-779-7937 is your phone number. John's in the car. Go ahead, John.
Hey, guys, I love all this this stuff. You know, I really think it goes back to, Andy, you were at this the Braves short rib party. Like, Stacey James and Robin the Hammer Time, they really thought that everybody that went to the Braves short rib party for Gerard Mayo was going to buy in hook, line, and sinker to everything they said. And, you know, that's when it doesn't, they get all frustrated. And I think that's what happened with poor Evan, because you beat – now, Andy, this isn't you anymore because you're not a beat writer anymore, but – the beat writers know the deal. Like, they go on podcasts so they can basically speculate or put their opinions out there or put stuff that they haven't really fleshed out with any sources or, like, just one source. And it's really transparent when you have the same source and you're doing that, like, well, I'm going to be intentionally vague here, like Greg Bedard, who is doing that intentionally vague stuff, when it's clear – we know you're getting your information from Elliot Wolf. Like, it's clear we know that, you know, Tom E. Kraft gets his information from Kraft. And then sometimes he's the stepbrother. He's Tommy Mayo, but he's always Tommy Clickbait. But he's like, you know, this
three burns in one sentence.
Because he deserves it. But this is ultimately what it gets to. Like, you people said this is going to be refreshing. You people that went to the Braves short rib party. But it's not. It's just a circus. And now you guys love it because it's more circus and more podcasts. And then I'll write this and, you know, clickbait, clickbait, clickbait.
All right. Thanks for the call, John. There was Braised short rib at this party. I didn't know that.
I didn't actually eat. I just sat down and chatted.
I was not invited to the party, so I don't know.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been good for you. I don't think radio people should be there, quite honestly. Now, I wasn't a radio person.
Honestly, if there's a free meal, I'll show up and eat, but I'm not dying to go to these things.
I was disappointed there was no alcohol, and that's all stems from the NFL's issues and alcohol.
Oh, speaking of losing out on...
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Schmoozing opportunities. Did you hear that they're going to change up winter weekend? I don't think they're doing winter weekend anymore, the Red Sox. Or they're not doing it out in Springfield anymore. Kennedy said something about that. He's like, yeah, winter weekend, we're going to change all that up. It's going to be totally different. And I don't know if that means out of Springfield or whatever, but I used to like driving up there. I'd go over there, play a little craps, go over, hang out, you know, do my two-hour weekend show, interview Chaim Bloom or something, go home. Like, that was an all right little excursion for a Sunday. But yeah, I guess they're flipping that now. I don't know if they're going to do it the same way.
I don't care for that. Because those of us that believe they're actually going to go out and do something, this would be the year you'd actually want a winter weekend, right?
Yeah.
If you sign Soto and Burns, like, okay, we've actually done something. Now we can blend them in with some of the young guys, Campbell and Anthony, and all of a sudden we have people that are actually excited and want, you're not going to get booed, you'll get cheered, and people will be excited about the product you're putting forth. So there was a lot to that call from John in the car.
A lot of Tommy Curran insults.
Yes.
Like more than I've heard in that small amount of time in a long time.
And first of all, I don't remember exactly when the Braves short rib party was, to use his term, but it was when they
had the press conference, right?
It was a little bit. It was when they introduced all the assistants, whenever that was. Remember, there was like a delay.
It wasn't the Young Thunder press conference.
No. It was when they introduced Van Pelt and Covington and Springer and all those guys.
Okay.
And it was refreshing. There is no doubt that it was refreshing. And things that are refreshing can also become less refreshing as time goes on. And this is where I would go back to what Christian just said. If they were 3-1, it would remain refreshing.
Yep.
But because they're 1-3 coming off two embarrassing losses, it is no longer refreshing and things are becoming somewhat annoying.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. The running back situation is one that we haven't touched on yet, and that is one that I think in terms of the offense anyway, we're not expecting Drake May to start the game, but Antonio Gibson may start the game. Ramondre Stevenson may start this game on the bench, and that I think is, you know, looking at a team like Miami, a team that can't score very much, you're taking away potentially your strongest part of the offense, despite the fact that he fumbles every single week. You're minimizing that now and going with the backup. And I look at that, and I look at the defensive situation, what Covington was just saying, how basic it is right there. You know, we just got to play as a unit. The running back situation, your star's fumbling all the time, so we're going to this third down guy who I don't know if he's going to start or not. It does sort of seem like the coaching staff started the year over their head, but now we're just completely underwater.
Scrambling. Yeah. And a scrambling in a tough spot, because if you were scrambling with more talent, you could screw up and still win games and make questionable decisions and still win games. Because this is going to be basically, if Stevenson doesn't start or Stevenson is benched or Stevenson is inactive, whatever, it's kind of the opposite of, or it's a different spin on what got Lazar all fired up.
Yeah.
He was indicating that players are like, wait, why can't we play the quarterback? I'm going out there and busting my ass. And I would ask the same. So we're not playing our best quarterback and we're not going to play our best running back. What are we doing here?
Yeah, good point.
We're not that good when we field all 11. When we field our best, what now? Unit. If we don't field our best, what? Unit. Then we're not going to win. We can't score points when we have our best players out there, theoretically, right? So
yeah,
that would annoy me, too. Like, we're teaching lessons. I would go back to my... Remember Adalys Thomas? What are we, in kindergarten? We're teaching lessons? Mm-hmm. I'm a pro. I'm professional. Like...
Adalys Thomas, speaking of 2009, the bad apples on the team.
Oh, yeah, he was part of the downturn in that culture, I believe.
I would totally agree with that.
Sean Springs.
Although he did have one of the all-time great quotes, if it's not the Jetsons, I can't just fly to the...
Right.
During the snowstorm. Like, that was an all-time funny quote, I think.
Well, he
Patriots.
Was a good, snarky... Mm-hmm. He had a good attitude about him. No
Those
question.
Humble Pie shirts, stupid. The Jetsons quote, awesome.
Well, people loved Humble Pie when they were winning, and it was new, right?
Mm-hmm.
2007.
Well, yeah.
Humble Pie. I think I had one of those somewhere. I don't know where it went. But yeah, I just, all of this is a different way to beat around the same bush. It's the same bush of losing. And that's like, Belichick could bench Stevenson and we could say, that's dumb. You don't have a backup.
Right.
And they would probably win 28-10 because Brady would throw the ball 35. That was one of the numbers that stuck out in this game.
Yeah.
The total throws for this game, the over-under is like 49.5 or something. In an NFL game for two teams, they're both at like 24.5 over under for passing attempts. It's scary, but
that's
in the old
preposterous,
days,
like honestly,
yeah, no, that's why I'm telling you, it's a bad football game that everybody would be better off if it didn't actually occur. And I don't mean to be disrespectful to the guys that play it. And this is where I do think it's getting back to the Jacoby Brissett disrespectful,
mm-hmm.
like. Guys are going to go out and literally put their careers on the line. Every one of these guys could have a career-ending injury, and it's just an abysmal 31-32 football game, according to the power rankings.
Yeah, it does seem that way. Since these coaches are all so far over their heads and scrambling so much, do you think a new voice emerges? Like, could a Ben McAdoo, maybe, a guy who has some head coaching experience, a guy who did get another couple years out of Eli Manning there at the end, like, is there... And he's just a name. I know that you've sort of bandied that name about a little bit, and there's not a lot of other real options here. But is that someone who could maybe be a kind of positive influence or positive force here in this very chaotic situation?
Yeah, that's definitely a name I've bandied about. Gerard was asked about that this week and said, you know, he does some things with the offense, and then he's done some things that, let's just say, are assistant head coach duties. So, unfortunately, it sounds like he's been involved. Mm-hmm. Like, he's already been involved through the first 4 weeks of dismal offense. Now, are you willing to make a jump? Would you make him the play caller? Because that's a pretty significant move, but not one that's outside the realm of possibility. When offenses are really bad on teams like this, play calling changes often happen, right? Offense or defense. Somebody loses.
And they're not giving it to Mayo, so, I mean, yeah, you have to give it to somebody else.
So it'd be Ben McAdoo, I think, would have to become the offensive play caller, but that's a quick pulling of your cord, like the rip cord 4 games in of Alex Van Pelt designing an offense, and you called him the head coach of the offense. You really said he's the lone voice. Remember all the voice stuff? Lone voice that Drake May will hear is going to be Alex Van Pelt. You put the future, not just the present. Forget about just the present. You put the entire future on Alex Van Pelt. I don't think you can pull the cord on that this early. That, again, would add to dysfunction in the behind the scenes.
It wouldn't be quite as dramatic as pulling the plug on, like, Gerard Mayo this early and all the faith and everything they put into him. But I agree with you. I think that this is, even in the case of someone like Van Pelt, who was certainly not this organization's first choice for this job, you do that after a month. After a month, you're already replacing people. You're already saying, hey, you know, we don't think that this is working out. Unless it's really, really toxic and everybody just hates the guy, like he's, you know, Josh McDaniels or something, then, like, I don't think that's the right move to make something less chaotic, you know, like that right. Seems to me to be more chaos than less.
And first of all, I don't think anybody hates Alex Van Pelt. I believe that everybody likes him.
Seems like a likable guy.
Absolutely.
Except now, maybe Rich Keefe today when he said odd questions. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I did.
That was
funny. Did.
Because it wasn't an odd question.
No, it didn't seem to be an odd question. I wonder, did he mishear it? Was there did he hear a word that wasn't in? I don't know. That was very, I found that strange.
I thought he was a little sandy today. Yeah.
Well, they did start off kind of attacking his offense. Fair
True.
Or not.
Yeah.
Fair or not. They did not pussyfoot through that. They kind of came out and got right to the meat of it. And
Jones has been known to do that, yeah.
Yes. No, he has. Yeah. And as you said, sometimes people hang up on him because of it.
Or flush the toilet on him.
Flush the toilet or flush him down the toilet or give him a swirly or whatever it's called. But it's not going to get any easier for Alex Van Pelt. He's got to keep doing these interviews when they're going to be at the bottom of the league and passing the... You know, he would actually benefit from, at least in a short term, Drake May, just like the rest of us. There would be a lot of people that would benefit from Drake May playing. Now, I know Greg Bedard says very conveniently he's not ready.
What can Drake May do for you?
He would help us.
Yeah.
You want to see our ratings go through the roof on Monday's interview with the quarterback? Drake May. No disrespect to my buddy Jacoby Brissett. I miss you. I love it.
Yeah, I think that would probably help everybody. It would help everyone involved, except Jacoby Brissett. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Quick break. When we come back, we'll ask the question, do you care?
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.